Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Welcome into the Six Again podcast. My name's Adam. On the other end of the line is Jared, and this is the third of our 2021 NRL season team preview shows. Today we'll be covering the Sydney Roosters and the South Sydney Rabbitohs, as well as everything else that's been going on in the world of NRL and rugby league. We're coming at you from, I'd like to say, sunny Sunshine Coast, but not so much today. Queensland, Australia. And had a pretty good weekend, starting with Jared's birthday Friday afternoon / night, where we went out and tried to play golf for a couple of hours before polishing back a couple of cold ones. How'd you feel up?
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, Adam, for coming up. He made it a good night. He was very, very tired by the end of it because he didn't have any kids for the night, so bit out of it, but no, it was a good night. I ruined, and Adam taught me a lot about golf too, which is good.
Yeah, taught you what not to do.
I was doing everything you shouldn't do in that game. It was horrible.
I think we both, like,
it was
the
bad.
First three holes, worst golf I think we'd ever played. Like, we went for Jared's ball. We're playing best ball, and we went off his ball, I think, twice, based solely on the fact it went straight. Not went far because Barry and I lost a couple of balls each pretty early. And then I got into it towards the end of the round, started hitting some solid shots, but oof, it took longer than I wanted.
Yeah, it was fun though. Like, it was just cruisy. Adam's teaching me how to drive the buggy better than I was, speeding everywhere. I was relaxed, just like driving around the court. Adam just put his foot in the accelerator.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
that's right. But yeah, no, it's good. I had fun.
Jared went back and forth about whether he wants to live on a golf course or not.
Oh, I bought a new set of golf clubs yesterday. And then I was going to play this afternoon, but some family stuff came up. So yeah, I'll be going there again.
Yeah, but it was nice to finish. Finished the 18th hole, went straight up, had a few beers and a good dinner. And then, here we are a couple of days later. So what have I got tonight? Jared's actually supplied the beer for this week. And NRL, very rugby league relevant, called Bloke in a Bar. And if you haven't listened to the Bloke in a Bar podcast, we highly recommend it. It's the podcast run by Denning Kemp, Brisbane Broncos and New Zealand Warriors winger. And they get some awesome guests on there, obviously, knowing a lot of the players. And yeah, so they've got their own beer and I'm going to give it a crack tonight.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Something different for me, but see what Adam thinks. He's a bit more on point with what beer tastes like. It's supposed to taste like.
It's gone a long way. So that's meant to be a lager. That's a different tasting lager, all right. No, I'll get down with it. I'll crack it down through the show and we'll see how we go, eh? All right, so we'll kick off with injury. So it's been a pretty big week of injuries. Four different teams have been hit. I think two from training, one a lingering injury. Sorry, three from training and another one being a lingering injury that's been fixed up. So we did our Canterbury Bulldogs team list last week and we're going to have to rub Jake Avarillo out of our starting lineups because he's ruptured his MCL in his elbow by reports from the Daily Telegraph. So take that as you will. If it's a full rupture of the MCL, you're looking at a 4 to 8 week recovery, arm in a sling. Luckily, he didn't fracture the arm at the same time. It looks like it's the ligament only damage here, but that's still a fair chunk on the sidelines for a young player trying to stamp a first grade spot. It's a bit of a setback there. You might have heard Bryce Cartwright suffered a broken jaw at training. Brad Arthur's come out and said that he was lining Bryce up for a starting spot in their first trial game. So obviously that's
what
for him. because his career pretty much stalling at the Titans. So broken jaw, that can range from, again, 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the recovery. Yeah. A pretty disappointing one, this one. Billy Smith, the young outside back, young center from the Roosters organization, has undergone shoulder surgery and will be out 8 to 10 rounds. And this is, of course, coming off the back of him suffering an ACL tear last year, which many missed last year's
season. Yeah, I'm really disappointed for him. He's got so much potential, but injuries is just getting him in his way, unfortunately.
Yeah, both Jared and I rate him pretty highly, and it's a hard way to look at it because we're going to look at the Roosters' back line tonight, and I couldn't find a spot for him anyway, even if he was healthy, even though he'd probably be in, I'm not going to say majority, but a fair number of other teams' starting lineups. So he'll heal up and continue to learn from those experienced backs in front of him. But obviously the big one, this guy just can't stay out of the news at the moment. We reported Cam McInnes signed the 4-year deal with the Sharks. He's now ruptured his ACL at training this week and is out for the entirety of the St. George Dragons season. Not the way that he or the coach or the club or the fans obviously would have wanted him to go out, if at all. Gee, that leaves a big hole. And we haven't done the Dragons team yet, I guess, selfishly for us. But
I think now they're going to really push for McCulloch now. Yes, they're going to have to. Yeah, they're going to have to.
That's one of our other bits of news a bit later on. That's looking like that's going to be signed off in the next couple of days, if not tomorrow, because we are recording this Sunday night. Screw it. How about we just jump onto that anyway? So we'll go into tidbits of news. McCulloch to the Dragons. This seemed like it was going to happen even before the McInnes injury. McInnes looked as though he was going to be playing lock with McCulloch playing hooker. That's the plan Griffin had laid out. Without McInnes there, McCulloch drafting will definitely be playing hooker. Oi, but the numbers they're throwing around is what scares me.
What are they throwing around?
They're looking at, he's on $400,000 this year at the Broncos.
Yeah.
And Dragons are looking at signing for 3 years. So he was basically on a 1 year deal at the Bronx, and Dragons, I believe they were going to offer him a 2 year extension after that, or 2 year deal. So a 3 year time frame all up, one at the Broncos, two at the Dragons. So they're going to be giving him 3 years. He's 31. He did turn 31 in January. So he's not a late birthday. So he'll be 33 at the end of this deal. Well, sorry. Yeah. 33 at the end of this deal, 34 by the next preseason. I get why they were going to sign McCulloch, but with the list of problems and issues the Dragons have, the worst thing they could do is compound those problems. And I think by signing a player such as McCulloch with the last 2 years of his injury history in that position to a 3-year deal would lean into the compacting the issue category for me.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, a 2-year deal for the money he's already out on at the Broncos would do well enough for me, considering, what'd you say, be 33 by the time this ends.
He'll turn 34 the next preseason. So
yeah, so
it'll take him through, and then if he re-signs, yeah.
Look, he's got, as soon as that ACL injury came around, he's got all the bargaining power. They need someone like that in the middle. So it'd be interesting. The Dragons can either stand their ground on him and go, look, this is all we're prepared to do when he's asking, if he's asking for more, or they just go, look, we've got a junior guy, we're going to bring him through.
Oh, no, it seems like the Dragons that are throwing out the 3 years, not...
Yeah, not, well, that's just silliness then.
Yeah.
That's just...
I'd be happy to sign him for 2 years if I was a fan. I'd be like, all right, cool, stop gap for this year. And then next year, we're going to talk the Dragons and Sharks trial game bit later on, but the one thing Dragons do have going for them is a bunch of young talent. And if there's a guy busting his ass to get a crack in the first grade, St. George is one of the teams where there's spots available. The only thing that Griffin's come out and stated is that Ben Hunt will be the starting halfback, but still no definite as to who's going to be the starting 5'8". et cetera, I guess the upside presently of McCullough is he's going to be able to help manage the game, take that off the shoulders of whoever the 5'8" is going to be with Hunt there, and let Hunt just maybe think less, which will be a benefit to him. From the Broncos' point of view, the name getting thrown around today is Danny Levi, who we know is playing in the Q Cup this year, Queensland Cup, or Intrust Super Cup, sorry. That took me by surprise, because the other thing Kevin Walters stated is that McCullough was going to be a starting hooker, and that's come out since this news has started. So we both had, I think, Turpin. I had Turpin as starting hooker and McCullough on the bench, and I think you had it the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not overly against Danny Levi. I do think he's got a lot to learn in the game, but I don't think he's overly that bad. Like, he is quick out. He's got a good pass. If Broncos picked him up, because they've also got Albert Kelly. I know he's not a hooker, but they've also got Albert Kelly there to push for that halves position. They've also got Isaac Liu doing a training trial with them as well. So they've got options there. And obviously you said Jack Turpin, but the reality of it is that Broncos need competition for one, for spots, to make everyone dependable. But they also probably wouldn't be bad in giving Danny Levi a shot because, you know, Jake Turpin, he's been thrown around in the halves that much last year. I think he is a potential of a long. I think he's more of a 5'8" than he is a hooker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
is it Turpin's in the? Jake Turpin's Dearden. The one who plays in Dearden. He's the one who plays in the halves, isn't it, Dearden?
No, well, yeah, no. Jake Turpin came. Okay, so Dearden came through playing halfback.
Yeah, cool.
Turpin came through to juniors playing all nine. Good.
Yeah,
but Turpin played six last year. I actually think he did all right.
Well, if you look at Danny Levi and McCullough, they're very similar in their game style. High tackle, high work rate, limited creativity. McCullough's game control over Levi with a longer kicking game than he does a short one.
See, that's the thing. When Danny Levi started at Newcastle, he was a considered attacking player. But Nathan Brown, I think he's the one who gave him his debut. He, or it could have been those five coaches between Bannon and Brown anyway. Yeah. He started out attacking player, but his defense wasn't that flash. And he just focused him on defense for so long. And that kind of drifted away in how he got that position originally. So if someone can go back to unlocking and finding that balance, he has the quality there, but...
And Kevin Walters would be the right sort of guy to do that, you'd assume, with his creative instincts.
And
it'd be interesting to see.
And the poor bastard for Danny Levi played for Newcastle for so long. Like, he had no development. All he was doing is tackling anyway. He's had no chance to attack. Yeah, so
it's hands are. I think we're going to have to leave St. George till last because there's just so many positions up in the air still. So keep an eye on that one. McCullough to the Dragons for 3 years and maybe Danny Levi to the Broncos. All right. This is pretty much a bit of rival show because most of our news is surrounding Cronulla and St. George. So it's come out yesterday that Cronulla and Craig Bellamy's associates have been in conversations for a period of time, looking at Craig Bellamy taking up a coaching director role from 2022. Now, we know that the Broncos have been trying to court Bellamy for the same position up in Brisbane. Bellamy has stated that he's done coaching at Melbourne after this season. We also know John Morris, who is on his last year of his debut coaching deal at the Sharks, has taken them to two final series in his first 2 years. And we also know that Shane Flanagan's ban runs out in November this year. So Cronulla will have a vacant coaching position in 2022. They've got their ex-head coach who has served his ban available. They've got a young coach. But the big news, I guess, is the fact that they've contacted Bellamy and have not refuted it. They've just said, we'll be making no more statement until something more concrete, basically, has been provided from either side. I've got to admit, Cronulla was not one of the destinations I had Bellamy pegged to.
Yeah, I think just depends what happens with Shane Flanagan. So I think them leaning towards Craig Bellamy's coaching director role means that they're not going to go after Shane Flanagan as their head coach. He doesn't need a coaching director.
Why not?
Because he's already beaten Craig Bellamy in a grand final as a head coach.
Yeah, but that's a
yeah, but like he's already proven game
compared to an entire portfolio.
That's a whole season that he won. So he's already proven that he could be a head coach. I don't think he'd need.
Director is there to direct the head coach.
Oh, I always thought a coaching director's brought in, so an experienced coach brought in to be a backseat of an inexperienced coach. That's how I see a coaching
part
director.
Of it, but I think they've got much more to it, like development of coaches in the lower ranks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He'd have input into the 20s. He'd have input into the feeder clubs. But be looking at upskilling coaches throughout the whole organization. And then, obviously, even Wayne Bennett would go to Craig Bellamy for advice on certain topics throughout a season. I'm sure Bellamy's going to do the same.
I see it more of a rookie coach and doing that stuff. So him helping the rookie coach because and then doing all that stuff you talked about so the rookie coach doesn't have to do it, get focused on the first grade school.
Mm.
You are right. That is not a bad plan, but I just don't see Shane Flanagan wanting or needing that.
I don't know. So, he had one coaching stint himself.
Sorry?
He's only had one coaching stint himself.
Pretty bloody successful coaching
stint. He was. But you also look at the team that he had then compared to the team Morris has had now, and you'd say Morris has done pretty damn well for himself as well.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what the thing was. I just see that as more of a, okay, we're going to have a rookie coach learning under Bellamy moving forward. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see on it.
He is a New South Welshman, Bellamy, so it makes sense maybe sticking in around New South Wales.
Well, on the other side of the thing,
the front of my mind. Yeah.
If the 15 other clubs aren't contacting Bellamy for assistance, they're dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
everyone will.
What? He can walk into any club part time and do whatever the hell he wants as long as he's giving assistance and they'll give him money for it. So.
Because the Storms are obviously trying to keep him around in non-coaching capacity. And we're talking about Wayne Bennett being out of contract this year. Wayne Bennett, the Storm, 2022.
No way.
Throwing it out there.
No, right, see, Craig Bellamy can walk into any club. Bennett's burnt a few people.
We'll see. I don't know anything about Bennett and the Storm head office, but... I know, weird things have happened. All-star news. So, obviously, if you haven't heard, Melbourne's in a five-day strict lockdown. And basically, what that means is all the Melbourne Storm players have been rubbed out of the all-star game. So, you're talking Josh Adokar, both Bromwich brothers, Remius and Brandon Smith, Jerome Hughes, and Nelson Asafa-Solomona. So that's a huge hit. So I think David now for the Maori side has lost a third of his players. And obviously to replace those players, you're looking at clubs that aren't affected by that crackdown or haven't travelled there. So it does, again, limit the players available. To go with that, Nathan Brown, we talked about last episode that he hasn't released his players to play in the All-Stars game, being Chanel Harris-Tavita, Tohu Harris, Cody Nikorima. He's come out and said on a radio station why he did it. And you got to give it to him. He stood up to it. He basically said, I talked with Cameron George, the Warriors CEO, said, we have to do this. It's in our short-term interests. We have a lot of players that haven't played together. And he basically said, yes, it's a selfish decision. I understand that. I understand how much this game means to the players and the fans. I understand how much representing football means. But if they're out, that could be 2.5 weeks outside of the preseason training with the rest of the squad. We've already had enough disruptions, yada, yada, yada. You can see it from his point of view.
I love it.
Warriors have gone through. I love the fact that he actually just came and said, yes, it is a selfish decision. I stand by it. And I'm sorry for the people that's affected, but I'm employed to do this job and I need them here so I can do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah, so Nathan Brown, when he rocked up at Newcastle, he was always that honest in press conferences. He's like, yeah, this is the reason I'm doing it. Deal with it. He never sugarcoated much. So, look, I agree with him. It is, like Adam said, it is representative competition, but you know, players get injured in these things. And his career is dependent on having his best players on the field for the Warriors. So, why not?
Yeah, and but mark my words, though, they're I'm not going to say heated discussions, but those players will be disappointed in the decision.
Oh, 100%.
They'll see it from Nathan Brown's point of view and from the team's point of view. But especially with I think it's a little bit different to State of Origin in that these players are representing a heritage and a history and an ancestry. And there's, again, like State of Origin, there's only a limited number of times you'll get to do this. So it is going to affect the players, but also think it's going to light a fire up. So they'll be fired up and ready to go and show the rest of the comp that Nathan Brown's decision was the right one for their team.
Hopefully.
Pretty much outside of that, the other news that has occurred over this weekend was the first trial game of the season. And this was between the Dragons and the Sharks. And only players who played 12 games or less in 2020 were allowed to be picked for this game. So it was kind of a mixture of youngsters and established players.
Injured players.
So you had players for St. George like Tarek Sims playing, Braden Williamy. For the Sharks, you had Nene McDonald, Billy Magoulas, who played a limited number of games for them last year. So a mixture of experience. But then you also got Luke Metcalf, said last week was an underrated signing for the Sharks. So coming from Manly, he's a Sharks junior. He played fullback. You had Jaden O'Sullivan for the Dragons. Clune for the Dragons playing at fullback. Who was the other one? And Braden Trindle from the Sharks, who played a couple of games in the NRL last year. Pretty high scoring affair, 7-5. Dragons leading at halftime, but falling away to lose that one. They're up 22-20 at halftime, and my screen has just dropped out and I've missed the final score. I think it was 36-28.
Something like that.
Yeah, so I didn't get to see the game live, but I went back and watched the condensed version of it. And I think we talked, it might have been during this time last year when COVID first hit, when looking down through clubs' rosters, about O'Sullivan having a bit of talk around him and the best halves product to come out of St. George. And watching him play, it was the first, let's say, full game I've got to watch him play. And he had he backed up a try up through the middle. Rod Wishart's son made a break from hooker, and he was the first one there. But he also did a really nice deft inside ball to his fullback to put him through a hole, kind of working against the grain of the defense. That was really nice to see. But what impressed me with him was his work off the ball. His positioning for a 19-year-old around the field was really good. He was putting his body on the line in defense. And Dragons fans, not a lot to look at and be happy about lately, but Jaden O'Sullivan, big tick. He's looking the goods. He's got to put on a little bit of size still. But after the game, he said he lives two doors down from Adam Clune. So they carpool in. He just sits around. He calls Ben Hunt, Corey Norman, Adam Clune, the three goats, greatest of all times. And he said he just shuts up when he's around him, just listens to him and just soaks up all information he can. The same with the coaching staff and the experienced players. And if I've got a youngster at my club with that talent, that's exactly what I want to be hearing.
Except learning from Corey Norman.
Just learn. He just said, I love to learn. I knew you were going to jump on that.
Jesus. Yeah, so I didn't actually get the chance to watch this. I heard there was a few standouts. I really like that concept that you get a trial for players who played less than 12 games, especially last year, you know, with the COVID and all that bullshit.
Yeah, got him a run on the field.
Yeah, got him a run. You know, creates the combinations and the score line and trials don't mean a thing.
No, it doesn't.
It just depends how well you play, how well you defend. You know, last year when trials are on, I'm pretty sure teams put 2.5 teams on the field. Like, so I really like these concepts. It should be happening at every club. I don't think it is. But, yeah, hopefully it goes ahead a bit more just to get everyone a bit more involved and get the players a bit more game time. Because, you know, the players...
Like an All-Stars game.
Yeah, kind of. At least they're wearing their jersey if they get injured.
For the Sharks side of things, I mentioned his name just before. Luke Metcalf had 3 try assists playing at fullback. If you haven't seen this guy, I first saw him at the Nines tournament last year for Manly. He is quick. That surprised me. I didn't realize he had so much speed. He generally plays in the halves. He grew up all his junior footy playing in the halves, but he played at fullback. And 2 of his try assists were 15, 20 meter right to left passes, one a spiral, one a flat ball.
Jesus.
Both out to the wing and looked pretty damn confident. He's in contention. Not you'd say not for a half spot at the Sharks because it looks like Matty Moylan and I was going to say Sean
John. Chad Townsend.
Offering Chad Townsend. Thank you. Are going to be the starting halves, but you've got Will Kennedy, Luke Metcalf, and another youngster down there. We'll have to look at him when we do the Cronulla list. Fighting for the number one jersey, and he's not going to do himself any harm with that showing. So trial games are going to start coming at us, so we start keeping our heads up for that. And the boxing on Friday night that Jared and I had the new sports bar we went to didn't actually have main event on, so I had to watch the highlights of this. Sander Earl knocking over Justin Hodges. Junior Paulo TKOing Neville Costigan. Got him with a pretty solid shot, and Costigan didn't really know where he was for a few seconds there. But I'm giving the biggest shout-out to Benny Hannon taking on Josh Papali. Just getting in the ring with Papali is crazy, let alone as soon as the bell went, going at him. Like, Ben Hannon was just flying in, and I think Papali's first 30, 40 seconds of the fight was just blocking Hannon, and he was just raining down on him. And I think Puffy said he'd lost 6 kilos in training just getting ready for this fight, and he needed to because Hannon had him on the runaround, but Puffy pulled out the win. So I like the fact that it was ex-players, current players. You had Craig Gower beating Matty Bowen. I can't remember the result of the Todd Carney Scott Prince one. But anyway, it all went to charity, and I've got nothing against seeing that sort of stuff. During the season, pre-season, I wouldn't even mind something like that being pre-match entertainment at a State of Origin. I think that'd be really cool. Instead of something, having a couple of 4 2-minute round biffs between Gordon Tallis and Bill Harrigan. I don't know. But anyway, let's...
That can only end well. That can...
Bill Harrigan. Oh, wrestling. Gordon Tallis.
Yeah, Bill Harrigan. But that's what NRL needs to do more. Like,
how good would that be?
Have the races. Like they used to in grand final day. Get the fastest players of the teams who aren't going. You know, AFL do an AFL kick across the river in the morning.
I know, we're going off topic anyway.
But they should be doing it.
Yes. Thank you. Boxing. Good. Rugby league. Good. Yeah. We'll be back at you after this quick break with our 2021 season preview for South Sydney Rabbitohs. All righty, we're back. South Sydney Rabbitohs, established 1908, one of the foundation clubs of our competition. 21 premierships, last being in 2014, and we're actually at that one with the Greg Inglis Goanna. 8 wooden spoons, captain is Adam Reynolds. Their 2020 finish... they were 6th on the ladder with 24 points, 12 wins, 8 losses. However, they did make it all the way through to the prelim final, going down 20-16 to Penrith in one of the best finals matches we've seen in recent memory. A really tough entertaining match. Stats from last year. Their average loss margin was 8 points, which was the second best. Their average win margin was 19.6, second best. So when you've got the second best, I'm not going to say second best attack outright because they're for and against didn't equate to second overall, but they're not losing by much and they were winning by quite a bit when they won. Both looking pointing in the right direction. Our first point of analysis, opinion on where they finished last year. So prelim final, get knocked out by Penrith, sixth on the ladder. Is that about where you expected them, above or below expectation?
When you look at the team they had, I actually think that's a bit disappointing, to be honest.
What were your thoughts last year when they finished? Was it?
I actually thought they were spotty as all hell. Like, yeah, they got into
their draw.
Yeah, when they came six, like that's commendable. But there were games where they just weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were games where when they were on point, because I'm pretty sure they smacked the Roosters, didn't they?
Yeah, I've got those scores here. Yeah. So they lost to clubs that they shouldn't have lost to. That was their issue. And they lost to clubs outside the top eight. I'm not going to say regularly, but they did. And then when they flexed their muscles, that the last month of the season when Adam Reynolds was just on fire, their round 20 match, they beat the Roosters 60-8. And then they went in the first round of the finals, put 46 on the Knights. So in 2 weeks, they scored 106 points and let in 28. And then they smacked the Eels 38-24. So you're looking 60, 46, 38. And the against, yeah, the 20 and 24 is not flash. But when you're beaten, when you're putting that many points on, it doesn't really matter. And then that game against Penrith, they took it to them. And they damn close almost got that. That last month, to me, showed who the Rabbitohs
potential. Were.
And I think they've gotten better in the offseason. Like, they're one of the few that they've brought in more class than they let out. I think they finished one spot lower than I expected, but that's because I didn't expect Penrith to finish so highly. So I had them in that fourth, fifth, sixth spot, but I had them probably more towards the top four rather than that middle four positioning. So
this year, their middle third is going to have Damien Cook, Jai Arrow, and Cam Murray.
If they're selected like that, yes. I saw the biggest question marks, how he's going to fit Arrow and Murray and to that with our teams.
Yeah. I know you just said, you know, they're going to get better this year. Arrow is going to be huge for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they did lose games, they leaked a lot in the middle. And because Arrow
Cook had a horrible year.
Yeah. So if Arrow's in that middle, yeah, that's going to tighten it up a lot. And then I know he's hit on it a million times. This back line's just lethal.
Yeah, it's filthy. Yeah, all right, so ins for the Rabbitohs. You got Jai Arrow, the biggest one. Jacob Host, really good pickup, I think. So Arrow signed through to 24, Host to 23. Josh Mansour, of course, signed through to 2022. Benji Marshall, the late signing for this season. Tane Milne, more depth in the backs from the Warriors. And Tautau Moga, more depth in the backs from the Knights. And they're out. So their big out is Corey Allen to the Bulldogs. But I think that's going to work out best for both clubs. Tom Amone released. I thought that was a bit of a surprise. He looked like he had a bit of talent. Anyway, Kurt Dillon and Kai Rodwell both released. Bryson Goodwin and Jack Johns off to the Knights. And that's it. Well,
Bryson Goodwin. No, he didn't. Jack Johns went to Newcastle. Bryson Goodwin got released, so he went to England.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got in brackets here. I drew across a line. So we did this last week and he wasn't there. Sorry. But Bryson Goodwin released. And Joseph Suwali. We'll get more on him when we talk about the Roosters. But I think that's a saga that South may have wished they dealt with differently, but that could be used down the track. So
that's how well it goes.
Lights of Jai Arrow, Josh Mansour, Benji Marshall, and then to a lesser extent, Jacob Host. and your highest profile release is Corey Allen, you've had a pretty good offseason. Oh, sorry, here's my second line. Ethan Lowe retired, James Roberts off to West Tigers, and Bailey Sirenin off to the Warriors. Sorry, that's a...
That was a loss. I rated Sirenin last year.
So do I. I'm thinking that's along with Corey Allen. Both players who are starting players, and Sirenin most likely not. Corey Allen was either going to put... You're either going to put Corey Allen in or Campbell Graham in, basically. It'd come down to, for most people, or Corey Allen and Alex Johnson. So, or he's going to the Bulldogs, he's going to get guaranteed first team football all season.
Yeah.
And as a Queensland supporter, I'm happy about that. So, I still think, yeah, they finished in the plus. Anyway, okay, on to... Oh, injuries. Sorry, Tane Milne is out till mid-season anyway with a knee, and Brock Gardner an Achilles injury, and that's indefinite. So, coach Wayne Bennett, last season with South. He's had two seasons with them, two prelim finals, knocked out by Canberra the year before last, and then obviously Penrith last year. We know Wayne Bennett and what he's done in the game. 857 games, coach, 532 wins, 14 draws, 311 losses at 62% win rate. For the Rabbits, 48 coach, 30 wins, 18 losses, 63% win rate. So his win rate with the Rabbits is 1% better than overall. And honestly, that shocked me a little bit, his win rate with the Rabbitohs. Maybe it's because we had such high expectations that every loss felt maybe more like two or three, or maybe it's more the types of losses they've had into the types of team lost to that it's felt like more. But 63%, a lot of coaches and a lot of teams would take that any day of the week.
So, 18 wins and 18 losses in 2 years doesn't sound like much, but still, it's bloody, like I said, spotty with the team they've had to have. So I'm looking at the 17 I've got right in front of me. Holy shit for 2021 and the people who are out of their 17. It's just
consistency through the season, because both years they've had to play that extra round of finals.
Yeah,
because of where they've ended up on the table. So their goal obviously is going to be top four, if not top two. All right, Do you want to go through your team first?
Okay, so
just to preempt, guys, this isn't the best team they could put on the field. This is who they've got available for round one and who we would pick in our starting 17 based on who's available.
Yeah, so with this team, just think of the outs that are not playing. So I've got Mitchell at fullback, Johnson and Gagai in the wings. I got Campbell Graham and Braden Burns in the centers. I really like Braden Burns. I know Adam's not the biggest fan of him, but I think he's being studded by injury, like stopped by injury throughout his career. So I reckon he could really show. Walker and Reynolds in the halves, obviously. Totola and Arrow up front with Cook and Hooker. Jaden Sewer on one edge. And I've actually moved Liam Knight to the right edge for South Sydney because I think he's wasted at prop and I think he has a lot of potential on the edge. And then I've got Cam Murray at lock. All right, Kolo Matangi on the bench. Harmay Selle, Patrick Margo, and Darren Nichols. Ran out my 17.
Mark Nichols. I'm not going down this Darren Nichols freaking thing again.
Oh, I do it all the time.
I couldn't.
Couldn't get him in?
No, I couldn't find his profile up on NRL.
He's a prop, and he's got so much potential.
Yeah, I know. Because he played a fair few games last year. I still couldn't. So you've not included Tom Burgess after his probably best year last year that he's had in quite a while.
So Tola was better than him last year?
He was.
Keelan Matagi's, you know, more explosive than him. And Burgess, geez, he's got some lost balls in him.
He does.
Like, he's got some drop balls. I would give him a few weeks in reserve grade just to think. Because it's mainly because Arrow's there.
Who was your other one on the bench? Sorry, Colin Matangi, Margo, Sally.
And Nichols.
Nichols.
Yeah, so he's a small forward
on the bench as well.
Yeah, well, look, Murray could play everywhere. They can move Mitchell into sit into the halves if they need to. Gay guy can go back. They've got about five fullbacks in that squad.
Yeah.
They got versatility around.
So we only had two differences. I prefer Josh Mansa on the wing. I'll prefer Mansa in my back line than Braden Burns. Nothing against Braden Burns. He's a good player. I just Gay Guy, Graham, Johnson and Mansa to me are ahead of him. So I'd Gay Guy and Graham in the centers. And I've said a lot on this pod, I prefer Gay Guy on the wing because of what he's done in Origin. But the fact of what he's been doing in the centers for Origin last year, especially again, and towards the end of the season, I'm happy to keep him there and be hoiking the ball out to Mansa. And I put Arrow at prop. I freaking hate it, but I also you can't move Murray because he tried doing it last year and it doesn't make any sense for the Rabbitohs. And he's not big enough, honestly, to be able to run over people. He can pick the gap and sidestep through. But in today's game, if you're an edge runner, you've got to be able to also run over people sometimes. I even thought about, would I put Arrow or Murray on the bench just so both of them can have to go play in their favourite position? That doesn't make sense because they're your two best forwards. So it looks like Arrow's going to be playing prop unless Bennett's got something else up his sleeves. I started with Totola and Arrow, and no, I started with Jed Cartwright on the edge.
Yeah, fair enough. I had a look at him. I just think that Liam Knight did have a good season last year.
Oh, he did.
And he filled a lot of holes for South Sydney as well.
I worry about his motor.
Well, that's why you've got Nicholl. That's why you've got Margo Seller, Kayla Matongi. That's why you've got Murray. That's why you've got Arrow. But
all those players that you just said then, only one of them's going to fill in on the second row, and that's going to be Kayla Matongi. Because you can't put Nicholl.
Nicholl can play on the edge.
Mate, this is a prop, and he's slow as all buggery.
You only have to put him there for 10-15 minutes while you give Liam Knight a break. That's all you do. And the more NRL Liam Knight plays, the fitter he'll get. They train him exclusively on that edge. I understand Jed Cartwright's good. I just think that Liam Knight's earned his position, but I can't see him anywhere up front. Because Totola is obviously Totola.
Yeah, and Liam Knight, he was in the Manly Junior and his head wasn't on right there. And then he went to the Roosters, same thing. And then he went to the Rabbits. He got his off-field stuff sorted, but he still snaps on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't give him a starting spot. So on my bench is freaking massive. Like, if you needed to give Murray or Arrow a spell, you obviously could, but I've got Tom Burgess coming off the bench with Liam Knight coming off the bench as my two of my four big guys with Kayla Matongi and Patrick Margo. So I think it's going to be the biggest bench in the comp.
Jesus Christ.
Because I just see with the Rabbitohs having that much class in the back line, all the forwards literally need to do is go forward. They don't.
Yeah.
Like Jaden Sewer is enough class on the edge. They don't need an Angus Crichton anymore. They don't need a ball playing back rower like who am I trying to think? Like Kikau can do with his offload because they've got so many points out the back.
Like, all they have to do is just give it a walk and he'll just create something. He's given the ball early or whatever, and it's just lethal.
Oh, it's nuts. And then I had Jacob Host as my 18th man because of his second row capabilities. I wouldn't be surprised if he started there as well. But then I looked at the depth chart. It's not just the names that's on there. It's the positions they cover. So they're covering the halves. Troy Dargan, Dean Hawkins, and Benji Marshall. Crazy. They've got Josh Cook as a backup for hooker. I don't know a lot about him. But they got Brock Gardner when he comes back from injury in the second row. You got Mark Nicholls, or Burgess, whoever you want to put down there, backup. Hammy Selly or Patrick Margo. And then in the backs, Stephen Masters, Tau Tau Moga, Jackson Paulo, Braden Burns, or Josh Mansell. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. I'm looking at this depth chart going, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 11 I've got down there have played first grade. And 6 of those 8 have played a whole season of first grade. It's crazy.
And before the podcast, me and Adam were actually talking. I was like, if they're not in the grand final or around it next year with the depth they have, like, you know, they're kidding themselves. Get one injury, put a regular first grader who's done it for the last 10 years straight back in. Like, that's it's just it. Insane.
It's just so the insane. Only... So you got player to watch?
Wait, yeah, who's your player to watch here? Yeah.
I found this hard because I'm looking at my starting 13 going, we pretty much know everything we know about all these players. So I went for one of the bench guys, and I was talking him up before the season last year, and he didn't get much of a run until about halfway through, and that's Keon Kolomatangi. And yeah. Once he got rolling, you could see what he could do. I see him coming off the bench, but I also see him working his way into maybe an edge. He basically profiles as just a rumbling prop at this stage, but I think he's got the ability to do kind of what Josh Papali's done and play on the edge for a part of his career. He's strong, he's quick, and he's got acceleration for a big fella. And I love the attitude he plays. Every time he gets hit, he's down quick, he's up quick. He plays with controlled aggression. He's everything you want in an impact forward. He reminds me a little bit of Takiaho from the Roosters. But Takiaho still has lapses every now and then where every third or fourth hit up just doesn't have that punch. Kolomatangi does that every hit up.
He's going to be a player around for a long time, and I guarantee his next contract, he's going to have a lot of offers for a lot of big money.
Yes, I would. I talk about some bench players being guys that fill a spot. I don't see him as a guy. He's an impact wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
I actually had Campbell Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So he debuted as the tallest, skinniest dude in the world. He's put on a bit of size. He still has his pace. Jesus Christ, Brad Fittler must be licking his lips this year. He's got four of the best young centers in the competition, all New South Wales. He's got Staggs, Graham, Best, and Crichton. All four of them vying for those two New South Wales center spots, and they're all genuine centers.
Tom Trbojevic will get one of them.
yeah, that's it. Well, to be honest, if they're looking at genuine centers, you maybe put him on the wing. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
But Campbell Graham, I reckon, like, they got so much class in that back line, but I think he's, you know, this is his fourth year, first grade.
He's just looking at that consistency now.
He's got the halves around him who he's played with for a long time. And look, he's got that size. I think a lot of people are going to be really worried about Campbell Graham this year. I think he's about 24, 25 now, coming into his prime. Like,
I don't even think he's old.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's played, I think this is his third or fourth year of first grade. And
I thought he started a bit young anyway. I'll have a look at that while you talk.
Either way, Campbell Graham, I just think he's just going to be close to unstoppable. He probably doesn't have the natural athleticism.
He's 21.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, gee.
Natural athleticism.
So much older.
Stephen Crichton has.
Yeah.
But he's got the game smarts. He's got the size where he can run over people. He's got the speed. He's got the agility. I'm really hoping he has a big year this year. Really push for that New South Wales backline spot because I'm hoping for the next 10 years with these four blokes that there's going to be so much competition for New South Wales Australia spot. And
you're
I really
right,
hope he steps up.
It is fourth year, even though he's only 21.
Yeah.
He came on real late. So... What does South have to do to be successful this year? Well, you look at the last 2 years getting the prelim, so a step better would be the grand final. So two steps.
Or consistency. Consistency.
And I think, the consistency we've talked about a lot. I put that down to 2 points. Damien Cook, we're not going to say it was horrible last year, but he was nothing like we've seen him in the past. It got to the point, even in State of Origin, where I wasn't worried when he had the ball, because I didn't feel as though he was going to run, and running's his biggest threat. He hardly ran the ball last year, so obviously Bennett's going to want to be getting in his ear to do that.
Well, I think that was Bennett's fault.
Could have been.
Well, Damien Cook reminds me of Glenn McGrath, and Cameron Murray reminds me of Shane Warne. One of the most lethal combinations in Test cricket.
Okay, good. Yeah, no.
Good. Cam Murray, when he runs and gets that, he's the quickest player to ball. Cook ran off that. Start of last year, Murray played on the edge. Wasn't in the middle, control things. They lost a few games. Eventually got put in the middle, started. Murray got injured. Cook got injured. Very stop-start. Murray got injured. I don't think he even played the full Origin series. I don't think he even played
two games. No, he got concussed.
Yeah. So a lot of what Cook does is based off Murray.
No, sorry, not concussed. Was that his elbow?
Oh, either way. Yeah. He got hurt. And a lot of what Cook does based off Murray's quick play to ball, which if this year adding Arrow in the middle like I want them to, that's another quick play to ball in the middle to watch out for. So I've always said that Cook's benefit is his speed out of dummy half. If they can create a bit of momentum up the middle with those two blokes in the middle for 80 minutes, Cook's going to be a lot more effective.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. That the other point I had down here, Cam Murray needs consistency. Put him in a spot, keep him in a spot. I think the last point here, I just made a note here. Reynolds was brilliant last year and he was forced to do more because Cook was inconsistent and Walker was quiet for the first half of the season.
Yeah.
I just put that as a point. I don't see that happening again. I think Bennett's biggest thing that he has to do in his last year, especially before he hands over to Demetriou, is ensure that Latrell Mitchell keeps developing because he's so... We talk about this stack back line, but he's still so important because if he goes down, all those outside backs that we mentioned before, none of them are a like for like to step into fullback. And the rest of that back line, who would you be putting into fullback outside of Latrell Mitchell? Probably Dane Gagai or Alex Johnson. Probably Alex
Johnson. I put Johnson back there.
It's there. But you're losing so much with regards to size, strength, etc. You're picking up with speed. But I know he gets a bad rap. Latrell, he progressed
enough.
The game. Enough. And look, he's picking the game up another entire preseason. I think if he keeps developing, and I agree with you, Cook and Murray get their consistency with each other. That's pretty much, that's enough to beat Penn
this year. Yeah, so.
To get them to the grand final.
So, big thing there, get Mitchell fit. If he's fit, he's unbeatable.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they got to do. If they can get him, you know, match ready quicker than, you know, it takes 2 to 3 rounds for everyone to be match fit. If he can be match fit with the same level as everyone else, his talent would take over after that. If he's not fit, like it's seen before, no good. Unfortunately. Yeah.
This is the only prediction. This is the only one that I've got. I've already pinned this one in. I've been doing vague ones for other one. They're going to finish top 4 and they'll be the premiers. They have to be. With this lineup.
That's a big call.
Last year, they've got no excuse. Except for smacked with injuries. Origin's going to hurt them. Mitchell, Gagai, maybe Graham, maybe Mansour, you never know. Walker, Arrow, Cook, Sua, Murray. Like, they're going to get smashed over Origin. But that's what happens when you've got a really good team and they should have the wins on the board for it not to impact them. So, yeah, I've got them as premiers.
I've got them top 4. I'll know in the first couple of rounds if they're premiers or not.
Yeah, well, that's just to lame. See. You can't just...
No, top 4. We set a variance of where they're going to go. Yeah. I'm just not 100%, 100% committed to playing them premiers. Like, that's a big call.
We'll do our full call before the season starts anyway. But there you go, Spurs fans. We've praised you and also jinxed you at the same time. We'll be back in a sec with our season preview of the Sydney Roosters. So we're kicking on to the second of our foundation clubs, being the Eastern Suburb Roosters, previously known as Sydney City Roosters, Sydney Roosters, whatever you want. Established 1908, premierships 15. 5 wooden spoons. Their captains are Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend. 2020 finish was 4th, 28 points, 14 wins, 6 losses. They made it to the finals of week 2. They went down to the Penrith Panthers in the first week, 29-28, which means they had to play the following week and they were beaten 22-18 by the Raiders. And that, of course, coming off the back of their last round. Biggest loss in club history to the Rabbitohs, 62-8. Now, they finished the season with the biggest average win margin of 22.4 points, which is ridiculous, almost finishing 4 converted tries ahead of the teams that they versed when they beat them. And their for and against ended up being third overall, so their defense wasn't too shabby either. That 22.4 winning margin was helped off the back of 350-plus scores and a 60-plus score. In terms of where they finished last year on the table, fourth, and then bowing out in straight sets in the finals, probably below expectations for a lot of people, but it was a year where they were impacted by injuries early in the season and continuously through the season, like they haven't had to in years previous. So how do you sum up their 2020, Jared?
I just think they got worn out. That's all. Like, they kept such a high standard for 2 years, and everyone was, you know, hoping they'd fail. I wasn't. I was, you know, they still had the quality. Like Adam said, they had 350 plus games they played. The players they brought in, like Nat Butcher, Lindsay Collins, absolute beasts that they stepped up when they had to in that last year. It's just that, they just couldn't keep it up. And then you had the injuries on top of that. They just couldn't do it for 3 years in a row.
Early, they lost Ferrells, both the ACLs.
That's all I can. Boyd Cordner for a lot of it. That's all I can really say for it. They were just wiped, essentially. And it's just, unfortunate for them. But I'll be worried about them this year because they've still got that high quality there.
Yeah. And we're saying they finished fourth on the, table. They lost their first two games before the COVID break to Penrith and Seagulls. And then they came out on there 28-12, 59-0, 42-6, 24-10, 26-12. And then the first loss again was to the Storm, 27-25.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
42-16. There's a 38-16 win, a 58-12 win, a 42-12 win. Like, some absolute beltings. And then I think it was the... It wasn't a crack as so much. It was the game against the Titans at the SCG where they almost lost. It was 18-12. They beat the Titans. And it was probably the first time that I saw the Roosters look a bit different and tired. And they scraped past the Dragons the next week, 24-16, and then were soundly beaten by the Storm. And you're wondering, are they teetering? Then they belted the Tigers, Broncos, beat the Raiders, smacked the Knights, smacked the Sharks. And then the Rabbitohs just hounded them. And you went, I think we talked about that was the first time we saw Trent Robertson spit chips.
Frustrated.
Yeah, spit chips up in the press box like Craig Bellamy. So going back through, I've got some interesting stats on Trent Robertson, and we'll get to that. So I guess overall it fell below people's expectations, I guess, of them. But at the same time, I don't think so much they're impacted by COVID. I think it's like what you said, they were tired, injuries, etc. They didn't have to deal with Sonny Bill off field, not drama, but attention, speculation, all that sort of stuff. So anyway, ins and outs, very quiet. And it tends to be quiet when you're a successful club. Ins, Tuku Hautapuka, 2022 signing. Adam Kieran from the Warriors. Joe Suwali from the Rabbitohs. Young teenage phenom, 2022, and Nafau White for 2022. I hadn't heard of Nafau White or Tuku Hautapuka before. They were already in the Roosters program. They've re-signed, as did Drew Hutchinson. Outs. Mitch Orbison retired. Pasami.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, Pasami Fasamasuli. Fasamasili, sorry, blah. Going to the Dragons, Kyle Flanagan to the Bulldogs, Ryan Hall back to the UK, Christian Tuipulotu to Manly, and Sonny Bill Williams back off to Union. Boyd Cordner is in concussion protocol till at least round 13. Well, sorry, he can play round 13. And Billy Smith shoulder for round 10. So largely an unchanged starting lineup outside of literally Kyle Flanagan.
Kyle Flanagan's gone as well.
Cordner with his concussion because Orbison floated in between. Trent Robinson started his coaching career at Catalan in France in the Super League. 60 games, 37 wins, 25 losses, 1 draw, 59% success rate. 2 seasons there, 2 preliminary finals, 2 losses. but still pretty damn successful for two seasons for your debut coaching gig. Roosters 2013 onwards. 211 games, 138 wins, 73 losses, 65% success rate. So a 64% success rate in all professional coaching. But how's this? Since he's been at the Roosters, he's won three grand finals, 2013, 18, and 19. He's been in three other prelim finals, 14, 15, and 17, and a semi-final last year in 2020. So from 2013 to 2019, he was either in the prelim or the grand final bar 1 year, which is 2016. And this, I think this escaped some people's memories, but the Roosters went from finishing as minor premiers to second last, back up to second. Yeah. And both the minor premiership years and the year that they finished second, they got to the prelim finals, and then in between that, they were pipped to the wooden spoon by the Knights. And I just had to throw that one in there.
Yeah.
It's such a weird stat, and we'll get back to it with what the Roosters have to do to get back on track. But, I'll come back to that one.
Yeah, so I don't even think they need to do much to get back on track. Like, they consider last year an unsuccessful season. They came fourth. They destroyed a lot of teams. They're premiership favourites for a long time. If I had that season, I'd be stoked. But everyone's criticising because they do have those massively high standards that the Roosters have set for themselves. So if I was a Roosters fan, I wouldn't be worried about next year at all. I really wouldn't.
No.
I don't see... Like, they've still got the players there. Like, they talk about these gun players they have. Look at Tupanua. He's a freak. He's one of the best young second rowers in the comp, and he's right there in the middle of it every single week. So,
out of their 14 wins, remember they played 18 games once they came back and they'd already lost their first two. So they won 14 of 18 after COVID. Yeah. So I don't know if criticism's the right word. It was just maybe below expectation. But anyway, we'll go into what they need to do in a sec. We'll go through our team list. Do you want to go first again? Do you want me to go first? How are we going to do this?
Yeah, I got it. So you got Tedesco at fullback, obviously. You got Tupo and Brett Morris on the wings. You got Brett Morris and Joseph Manu in the centers.
Josh Morris.
Kiri. Josh Morris. Sorry. Kiri at six.
Like they're twins or something.
Yeah. Sam Walker at seven.
So you went Sam Walker. Okay. I was interested to see who you went with.
Yeah. They've got a lot of young guys.
But which one are they going to go with?
You'll find out later. Yeah, find out later what I've done. Then I've got Jarabui Hargraves and Taki Aho in the front row. I'm actually, I don't know what I'm going to do at hooker because I'm thinking that I'd rather Verrills at nine. I prefer Verrills at nine. I think he's a better attacking player and he can tackle. But because Sam Walker's there, I'm thinking I might have to put Friend. Just to have that experience there. Does that make sense?
Friend's he's in a contract year.
So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I do prefer Verrills, to be honest. Then I got a biggest boy called with that. I've actually got Tupanura on the edge with Crichton. And I got Victor Radley at lock. On my bench, I've actually got Adam Kieran because I think he can play a few positions and he's pretty versatile. I think Robinson can teach him a fair amount. Isaac Liu, Lindsay Collins, and Nat Butcher.
Okay, we're very similar but different. Did you have an 18th man?
No, but there's a million options to pick from. I don't usually pick 18th man, but yeah, I love that bench. You got Isaac Liu, Lindsay Collins is a big fella, and Nat Butcher can play anywhere in the forward pack, which I'm really, I love it. Those three. And it's just unfortunate that I can't, like, for the versatility of Lindsay Collins and the impact he comes off the bench with. That's why I put Taki Aho starting instead of Collins. Yeah. But look, I wouldn't say no to Collins starting. Like, he deserves it.
Taki Aho has to start for a specific reason. He's the only goal kicker in that team.
Can Walker kick?
I don't know.
Either way. Kyle
Flanagan was their goal kicker.
Yeah.
So that's I've got scratches and scribbles all over my forward pack. But trying to fit everyone in. But I had the same 1-6 to you. I went Drew Hutchinson just based off experience. The NRL career. I actually had Adam Kieran in there first, but then put him onto the bench as my utility, same as you. Warrior Hargraves and Friend. I ended up going, I had Isaac Liu as starting prop and then scratched him off. And then had Takiaho as starting prop and then scratched him off because he plays his best footy at lock. So I scratched Victor Radley off and put Radley back to the bench and put Kieran in halves. But I was like, no, I need Radley playing lock. So I got to put him back to lock. And I was like, I hate clubs that have such good teams. Where do I put all these people? So Lindsay
Collins. Like when we go to Manly, it takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, shut up. Lindsay Collins at prop. I put Takiaho on the edge because
Jesus.
He plays his best footy at lock, not at prop. A prop takes it out of him too much. His runs become null and void. And at lock, when he gets the ball third, fourth tackle up through the middle compared to the first or second, he's so much more effective because he does actually have footwork for a big fella.
Yeah.
I think if and I know I'm putting him above Satili Tofanua, but if Takiaho's on the bench, I don't know who's going to kick their goals. So I've got Angus Crichton at second row and Victor Radley at lock. I've got Isaac Liu, Satili Tofanua, and Nat Butcher on the bench with Adam Kieran. So I think the only changes we had was I started Collins, you had him on the bench, and you started Tofanua and had Takiaho on the bench. I think that's the only
Takiaho started. You had Isaac Liu. Either way, they're pretty well the same. Just how you position. I just think for Roosters to be successful next year, I think that getting knocked out the way they did is just going to motivate them more and give them that few extra weeks off. Trent Robinson will go back to his drawing board, sort everything out. I think they'll have a new attack. The only thing going against them is I'm very surprised they got rid of Kyle Flanagan.
I've got the question mark on them. I guess we'll do this bit first because you've started on it. But yeah, I've got this big. I've underlined it. Who will control the game?
It has to be Keary.
It'll have to be this year because I think one of the biggest criticisms, or externally, it wasn't said internally that we've heard of, but Flanagan isn't flashy, but. Yeah, he wasn't racking up the tries or try assists. Keary was, not to a lighter extent, but it was Flanagan doing the majority of the in-play kicking, the kicking for touch. He had the better kicking game overall. And he was controlling the tempo. I think in his first couple of games, he kicked that 40-20, which changed the momentum of the game. He was their conversion kicker and quite a good one once he settled into it. And he didn't have to, we talked about last year, he didn't have to be flashy. You don't have to be when you've got Tedesco and the Morris brothers and Keary and Cordner and Crichton running the edges. You didn't have to come up with stuff everywhere. I thought he played his role to a T, and whoever comes in at half is going to have to do that because Jake Friend can do it near the line. He's got quite a good short kicking game. But coming out of their own half, I'm not sure. But I mentioned their prelim, second last prelim. I think that's going to suit them well here because this is probably the first time since then where they've literally been smacked out of the competition. They pretty much just got monstered at the end because they were wrecked. And Robinson's going to have to pick them up and go, this is probably the lowest we've been in 2.5 seasons. Get the motivation back, get this back without their leader. For half the season. And then plan B can't just be James Tedesco. He stole them, 3 games last year just off his own bat when nothing was going on. So backs against the wall attitude, who will control the game? And plan B can't be just James Tedesco. They've got enough talent because we didn't even cover the depth. Like looking at their chart here, Egan Butcher, who's meant to be as good, if not better, than his brother. Boyd Cordner, Daniel Fifita, the 2 young guys we mentioned before. Matt Ikuvalu, Lachlan Lamb is another half option. Billy Smith, injured. Sam Walker or Drew Hutchinson, whoever you go with. Sam Verrills. And then the big one, Joseph Suwali, who is my player to watch this year. But I don't know what to expect. 196 centimeters, 98 kilos for a fullback who's only 17.
Yeah.
And he can step both sides. He's not lightning fast, but he's fast. And if it's true what they say, he's guaranteed game time this year as part of his contract. Because to keep him in rugby league, the Roosters had to offer him first grade game time because that's what he was going to get at the Waratahs if he went to Union. And that's what he was going to get at the Rabbitohs. So, that's
the Who do you drop?
It's going to be around Origin time, you'd assume.
Yeah, but you got the wingers. I'm assuming he's going to start on the wing. You drop not New in South Origin, Wales winger.
You can just go straight into the Tedesco spot.
I think they'd be hard pressed to start him at fullback in his first game. That's silly. I think he's got to start on the wing. Do what Roger Tuivasa-Sheck did for the Roosters.
This guy's got bigger raps, though. Like, this guy's raps are like
raps. I was perfectly fine with him doing it. I'm very surprised Roos has had that in his contract.
I'm assuming they do because it was in the Rabbitohs one and that was announced. Yeah. It was in the Waratahs one, that was announced.
We had this big chat a few months ago about it on the podcast saying that you were well against him dictating it. Yeah. But I was fine with it, but I'm surprised the Roos, if that's legitimate in there, I'm very surprised that's there because that's just silliness that is.
Watching him play, I've got no worries about him starting at fullback over the Origin period. You're generally against weaker teams anyway, and he's already going to be, literally, he'll walk into that fullback position being the second biggest fullback in the league. So it's not like he's going to get manhandled. I think only Trbojevic will be the only one that can match him for height and weight, but this guy's already, he's more built than Trbojevic is at the same weight. He's more solid, so not by a lot. He's not a brick shithouse or anything, but...
Oh. Yeah, I just hope he lives up because, you know, he got 15 years in the NRL at that age.
Yeah.
If he's as good as... I just hope he can live up for that long. I really do.
So do I.
Yeah. My player to watch, and this is a really obvious one, but he's had a year off. He's going to kill some people.
Oh, yeah.
From a pure entertainment value, he's going to be fully refreshed. I wouldn't be surprised if this guy... asked the Roosters to kick off, pointed out a front rower, and then shot out of the line, squaring 50 metres down the line, and just beat the shit out of him. That's Victor Radley.
Yeah.
Like, he is so known for the big shots for a little dude. I just think that he'd be chomping at the bit, and he's just going to be pure entertainment for the first 2 months.
I absolutely hate him.
Because he's not playing for Manly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say it. Jared's a bit more biased than I am on here. I try to keep it a bit even, but growing up and even now, there's certain teams that I just dislike with a passion, but I will talk about how good they are, like I'm doing here with the Roosters. And the Roosters are one of them for a couple of reasons, like uncle and cousin stuff go for them. It's been another. I hate it when there's a player on a team that you dislike. There's teams that you just love beating. So Manly loves beating Parramatta, obviously. But seeing a player like Victor Radley on the Roosters is so frustrating for me because I love how he plays. He is so good. His tackle technique is awesome. He's in everything. Everything Jared just said, he's likely to do. And then he puts a Roosters jersey on. I'm like, gosh, damn it. But
Roosters fans
enjoy him because every other club would sign him if they could. He is just a beast to watch. Him and Brent... if you're going to have a party drinking session with anyone in the NRL, it's going to be Victor Radley, Brendan Smith, and Cameron Munster. I'm not hearing.
Do you know what would be? Do you know what would be the coolest team if the fans could pick an all-star team from the competition? Like, okay, whatever. I don't know how they determine it, but you'd have Brendan Smith starting front role, and then you had Victor Radley with number 10 on his back, so 10 and 8.
Yeah. Munster at number 9.
Yeah, like, you see that, and you're like, oh, shit. If you're an opposing front row the size of Jared Rear Hargraves, you wouldn't laugh at that. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to get hurt.
I'm not going to be walking for a week because their yeah. shoulders are going into my quads. what's the word? So, like, a lot of people out there dislike the Storm as well for obvious reason, because of the success, and that always happens when you're a successful team. You always have your haters. And Brendan Smith's a player that I haven't met anyone who doesn't like watching that guy play. So it's a similar thing with Radley. Prediction for the Roosters this year?
No, top four.
Yeah, top four. Yeah, I can't see them missing. Even with Cordner out for half the season, they've got enough depth to cover. So I think I've taken up three of my top four spots so far.
Yeah.
Rabbitohs, Roosters, and... No, I haven't. I've used up two. So that'll do us. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
One thing, if you're watching us on YouTube, you might notice that I'm wearing a specific T-shirt. That's right. Our T-shirts are finally here. Oh, there we go. Big branded up one there. This is the very first one off the print. So big thank you to Hayley Thorpe. And her mum for getting these printed up. We'll be tagging them in our post once the first order comes through. We'll be trialing them with friends and family to start with. And if they're going as well as we hope, we'll be getting them on our online store, which is on hold at the moment. It is up there, but it's, I think it says under maintenance or whatever, till we get more stock up there. And our stickers are in as well. So if you're interested in a car sticker or for your car, or a sticker to put anywhere, hit us up in the DMs in Twitter at Six Again Pod, or jump on our account at Podchaser, or on Facebook. Shoot us through a message and tell us why Manly's going to win the premiership, and you'll get a free sticker. You're going to have to justify that pretty well, because even I can't, and I'm a Manly fan. But that's all I've got, Jared, until Thursday morning.
Yeah. Yep. See you next time.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.